Ella luna mezza mare, mamma mia mi maradare. Figgi mia cutterare, mamma mia pensaccia tu. Se te non ne avviscia ulo, i te va, i te viene sempre a calare dal manedene. Se ci picchia quando si è a calare, figgia mia.
Oh mama, da 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 da. Oh mama, zooma zooma bacala. Hey, this is Gerald Celente, and it's Trends This Week. And of course, another week of weeks. And I want to start off today talking about what's going on in the economy, because there's a lot of misconception as we see it. And again, the motto of the Trends Journal, our magazine, and the Trends Research Institute is, think for yourself. So this is the way we see it, as compared to the way it's being reported. And I'm mentioning this because we believe that we're on the cusp of a global meltdown on the economic front that will be even greater or worse than the Great Depression of 1929, the crash of 1929, followed by the 1930s Great Depression. And the reason we're not seeing it is the unprecedented amount of money, cheap money, that's being pumped into the equity markets through negative interest rates. And that, again, there's never been such a thing as negative interest rates in the history of the world, part one or part two, according to Mel Brooks. And that means, for example, that when you buy a bond, let's say it's a 20 or 30 year bond, they have what's called a negative yield. And if you hold on to it till maturity, that means when you cash it in, because you're such a nice person, you get back less than what you paid for it. I mean, this makes absolutely no sense at all. It's never been done before. It's brand new in the history of the world. And they just keep getting away with it. They keep making these schemes up and pumping the equity markets up because you're borrowing money for free. And that's what's driving stock shares up. So because they're borrowing money for free, they're also doing merger and acquisition activity. So they're buying up companies, putting more of the wealth of the world and business of the world into the hands of a few. This cannot continue. And it's even becoming recognized now in the mainstream media. Now, again, you go back to our work and you'll see our trend alert from February 2010. And we said, this is not a recovery, it's a cover-up. And that's all they're doing, is they're covering it up. They're covering up a global meltdown by flooding the world's markets with cheap money. So, for example, over in China, they're having trouble with the coal sector because they're producing too much coal and there's not enough demand for it. And they want to keep their people employed because China's biggest issue is not America's pivot to Asia or what's going on in the South China Sea. It's big, much bigger than that. It's about riots. They used to report them, by the way. They used to get like 40,000 riots and protests a year in China. You know, they got 1.2 billion people. That's their biggest fear, their people. So what they're doing is they're pumping up the markets by flooding them with cheap money. Now, I'm not making this up. So, I mean, that's So in order to keep the people from rioting and keep them working, for example, as I mentioned, they're pumping up now billions of yuan to pump up the coal sector, to keep them producing coal even though they're not using it. And then around the world, they're lowering interest rates to record lows. And when I say record lows, try this one out. The Bank of England lowered its interest rate to the lowest level in 10 years? No. 15? No. 20? No. 50? No. 100? No. 200 years? No. 322-year low. So they're just juicing the markets with this fake money. And what it's, there's an expression out there in the business world to explain what's going on. And the reason why equity markets are going up while virtually everything else is going down is because people have no other place to put their money. You can't buy a bond yield because they're yielding nothing. You can't put it in the bank because you don't get any interest. So the term is TINA, T-I-N-A. There is no alternative. So with interest rates and bond yields at or near historic lows, across the board, from high-stakes speculators to average savers, where are you going to put your money? Where are pensioners going to put it? Where are these pension funds and insurance companies? You know, insurance companies used to buy, you know, bonds, and, you know, they had this thing all figured out. You know, what the rate of return was, how much they have to pay back, and the safety of what they're doing. They can't do that anymore. So where do you look for meaningful returns? You have to gamble in the equity markets. That's what's driving the global equity markets up. It's TINA. There is no alternative. Now, on the other hand, the people that don't want to speculate, don't feel they have the knowledge to speculate, are uncomfortable with speculating in equity markets, you know where they're moving into? Gold. Gold is up over 25% this year. And it's even bigger than that. You see, the markets are manipulated because they trade future contracts. Matter of fact, there's a story recently out on the future contract activity now going on in China. Now remember, this is China. This is 1.2 billion people, and they got a lot of dough. So what they're doing is they're gambling in the commodities markets. And they're showing how when so many people gamble, they drive the prices up rapidly. And they do most of it with these algorithms. And they only hold on to a contract, you know, a trading contract, for an average of like 4 hours. So all they're doing is speculating. But it rigs the market. On the real end of the market, in the second quarter of this year, gold coin sales have gone up 72%. That's the real market. That's the real supply and demand, not the speculation. And it's also important to understand that with Australia just lowered their interest rates, one country after another, with interest rates so low, currencies being worth less, what would you rather do? Hold on to your British pound that you see declining, or would you rather buy gold? And again, I do not give financial advice. I'm explaining what's going on in the market, why equity markets are going up, and why gold prices are going up. So we're heading for what I believe is a global meltdown, the likes of which we have never seen before. You go back, look what's happening with oil prices. You know, they're still around, you know, between $42 and $45 a barrel. Back in June of 2014, it was selling for $114, $115 a barrel. Now let's go back around the world and see why this is happening. There's a global slowdown. But this cheap money is covering it up. So when I talk about a global slowdown and oil prices would be higher if demand was greater. It's supply and demand. It's a very simple formula. But simple formulas, true price discovery, and economic fundamentals no longer count in an economy that's rigged by central banks pumping in trillions of dollars, yuan, yen, pounds, you name it, name the country, euros, to prop up failing equity markets. And not only with their quantitative easing, which in Europe, for example, is at about $80 billion a month, they are buying not only government bonds, but corporate bonds. And so too is the Bank of England. Now they're buying corporate bonds. We got a corporation that we like. We want to keep them going. Let's buy their bonds. So it's a ripoff for the people because, again, savers, pensioners, we have no place to put our money. You can't put it in a bank anymore and get any interest rate on it. This is unprecedented. And by the way, a lot of people now are talking about, again, as I was mentioning, outside of the alternative media, those of us that are not connected with a special interest, even the special interest people are saying there's a bubble here and it's ready to burst big time. So now you're seeing even these emerging markets like Brazil and, you know, the developing nations, their stocks are way down in the first quarter of this year. Now they're soaring. Why? Because, quote, investors are looking for returns and they know that the dollar is going to remain cheap because the Federal Reserve, despite saying, or indicating, I should say more properly, that they were going to increase interest rates four times in 2016, they've raised them the grand total of not once. And they said this back in December of 2015. And I mention that because that's when they raised interest rates a measly 25 basis points for the first time in nearly 10 years. And now it's over 10 years, and they've only raised interest rates once, and that was back in December. So I'm mentioning this because the higher interest rates go, the stronger the dollar grows. The stronger the dollar goes and grows, these developing nations' currencies decline. Because these developing nations borrowed so much money when we had the rounds of quantitative easing and zero interest rate policy in the United States following the panic of 2008, they borrowed all this money in dollars. Now they have to pay it back as their economies are declining. As their economies are declining because they're selling less of their natural resources, because China isn't buying. And when I say that China isn't buying, I'm mentioning that because China gobbles up, depending on whose numbers you're looking at, between 40 and 50% of a lot of these natural resources. But look what's going on over there in China. The numbers came out last week. The numbers don't lie. The markets do. Their imports fell 12.5%. Their exports were down 4.5%. So they're not importing. That means those emerging markets that are selling their products, their commodities, they're selling less of them. And because demand is down, they're getting a lower price for them. So they're selling less and getting less for it. Yet now their equity markets are booming. And they're booming big time. You know, I mentioned Brazil. Brazil's stock index is up 60% year to date. This is Brazil that's suffering its worst recession in nearly 100 years, and their stock market is booming because of all of the cheap money. Goes back to gold. Why are people buying gold? Why are gold sales up 72%? In the last quarter is because people see this as a Ponzi scheme. Ponzinomics is what it is. Central banks printing cheap dough. And then when you look at the total emerging market index, it's up about 16% year to date. And again, out of those 165 countries in emerging markets that they track, Brazil is on top, growing 60%. So that's the way we see it. And again, the motto of the Trends Journal is think for yourself. So gold was up strongly today, it backed off a bit, but it's still trading about $1,350. It's $1,350 an ounce. And our forecast remains the same. When gold goes over $1,400 an ounce and stabilizes above that point, and I'm talking about 1450, 1480, 1460, 1490, 1430, 1460, keeps playing in that range. We believe it's going to spike to 2,000, not straight up, but close to it. There'll be pullbacks. Nothing goes straight up or straight down. So that's the economic picture. And again, the markets lie, but the economy doesn't. Why should the markets go up as they have been doing, when you saw at the beginning of the month America's GDP, gross domestic product, coming in at a now half-year tally of growing at only 1%, and that, of course, ties in to the growth since the end of the Great Recession. While Obama brags about it, it's the weakest expansion pace since 1949. And then you look at the numbers that came out yesterday. Productivity. And that's a big one. It was down for the third straight quarter. But then you say, hey, how about those unemployment numbers, the job gains that came out last Friday, they were strong. I would suggest you go to Dr. Paul Craig Roberts' site. And you will see that they're not very strong. That's paulcraigroberts.org. And you'll see the numbers are rigged on the employment numbers. And the jobs that are created, many of them are part-time. Most of them pay non-living wages, waiters, bartenders, waitresses, hospitality sector,
healthcare services. So when you look at the real facts, again, GDP growth, productivity declines, and then you even look at S&P earnings. These are the S&P 500 companies, and this is earnings season. About 90% of all the earnings are in, and according to FactSet, earnings per share, aggregate earnings per share are down 3.5% from last year, and that is the fifth quarter in a row year-over-year decline. So where is the growth? Again, I'm mentioning this about the S&P 500 because the stocks keep going up. So how could the stocks keep going up when earnings keep declining? It's very simple. They're rigging the market by stock buybacks because, again, they're borrowing money for nothing. Again, along with the merger and acquisition activity. So here we are. The markets began the year. Happy New Year. Worst New Year opening in the Dow in its history. The emerging markets are in the tank. Now the emerging markets are swimming high, and the Dow, along with the S&P and the NASDAQ, keep hitting new highs. The numbers don't lie. The markets do. And again, for all of you that are interested in reading history before it happens, and staying ahead of the news and on top of the trends, may I humbly suggest subscribing to the Trends Journal. Our website is trendsresearch.com, trendsresearch.com. And we know that a lot of people are having difficult times because we're in this business of watching what's really going on in the world. So there's a discount request page there. And, you know, just tell us, you know, what your situation is. We try to make it available at a price that you can afford. And it's only $99 a year. And that includes the Trends Journal, the Trends Monthly. Trends, new Summer Trends Journal just went out. Go check it out. It's, you know, there are shorts of there. You'll get an idea of what it is. You know, it's 48 pages and it's full color. And no advertisements. And from artful aging to a review of the top trends of 2016, where they're heading, robotization, millennials. We cover more than the waterfront. We cover the world in a way that no other trend magazine on the planet does. Well, I would say any magazine. So just check it out. And I mentioned artful aging. A dear friend of mine, Stanley Blum, just passed on this week. A wonderful man, 97 years old. And I mention that because if you go to our website, trendsresearch.com, and then click on Trends TV, and then you'll see Meet the Blums, Stanley and June Blum. They were married for well over 70 years. I think it was like 72 or 74 years. It was a real inspiration. And there's a great video. They've attended our conferences and spoke at them. We did this video. It's really high quality, Meet the Blums, about artful aging. And people that tune into Progressive Radio Network, buy Gary Noll's products, see what's going on in the world, or want to age gracefully in aging. But it's more than just that. It's reaching the highest levels that are within you before you pass on. And that's what Stanley and June Blum have brought to the world in so many beautiful ways. Stanley was a shoe salesman. And he began painting seriously at 80 years old, published, I think it was about 5 books after 80, wrote poetry. He wrote poetry from the moment he passed away. They read it at his services. Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful man. A couple that I've never seen, two people in love in all my life. Please go check out the video, Meet the Blums. It's at our website, trendsresearch.com. Just click on Trends TV. But I'm also mentioning it because it's a very important trend, artful aging. And when you watch the video, you see how important it is. You know, people keep talking about how amazing and special their kids are. You don't know anything when you're a kid. I mean, yeah, save it. You know, what are they, splitting the atom? There used to be a thing called respecting the elders. When you look at the founding fathers, many of them were just that. The longer you're on the planet, the more you learn, the smarter you become. Hopefully. My father, may his soul rest in peace. We'd be driving along and I'd be shooting my mouth off and he used to look at me. And I've mentioned this, and he used to say, Papagallo, stop repeating what everybody else is saying and think for yourself. And then we'd be sitting at the dinner table, and he'd say to me, you know, son, they say that youth is wasted on the young. And he'd take a couple of more bites of his food, his dinner, and then he'd say, they were talking about you. So again, societies for millennia have honored the elderly for the knowledge that they've gained and what they've passed on. And as I look back at the elders that I know, I couldn't hold a candle to one of them. They're way beyond me. And Stanley Blum was that elder. And so when he passed on, he took a lot of greatness with him. But he's also left a lot of it behind. And you can see it in his books and his poetry and the Meet the Blum video. So on to some other trends this week. And passing of Stanley Blum was an important trend this week. Let's go on to the geopolitical front. I've mentioned to you that one of the tips of trend forecasting is to stay in touch with the news during the holidays and particularly on the weekends. Saturday is the least read, watched, and listened to news day of the week. So, what happens on Saturday? Well, Washington waits to release important information that they don't want you to hear about on Saturday. They know when you are sleeping. They know when you're awake. And what happened on Saturday? Well, El Presidente of los Estados Unidos, the Banana Republic of the United States, Barack Obama, released their drone strike policy program. It is criminal, as I see it. El Presidente is given the power to kill just about anybody, anybody, anywhere, for whatever reason he decides, with a drone strike. That's right. That's Obama's drone missile murdering weapons policy. Don't believe me? Well, here it goes. And by the way, the arrogance of this guy and how he's playing the media and the media buying it, you know, it's off the charts to me. And again, you know, I'm a political atheist. I wouldn't vote for Trump or Clinton. Never voted, you know, I won't vote Democrat, Republican. And, you know, I want to see George Bush and the rest of the crew brought up on war crimes for the, you know, atrocities they've committed. So when I talk about Obama, it's not because I believe in a party. You know, to me, that's stupidity. Believe in a political party. What a joke. And people get serious about it, too. Oh, you believe in the Bloods and the Crips, the murderers and the thieves? How many more people do they have to kill around the world before they can add it up? How much more money their vows they have to steal before they can add it up? I'm a Republican. I'm a Democrat. I'm a liberal. I'm a conservative. You're nothing. You're deluded into believing into a system that doesn't exist. Liberals, here's one for you. Quote, nothing in the president's policy guidance. Now, remember, this is from the release that they put out Friday night when nobody's watching or listening or hearing or looking. Nothing in the president's policy guidance program shall be construed to prevent the president from exercising his constitutional authority as commander-in-chief and chief executive. Can you imagine this language? Exercising his constitutional authority as commander-in-chief and chief executive. Aren't you happy that we voted for a dictator? They're making this crap up. Oh, I shouldn't raise my voice. I shouldn't get excited about giving the murderer-in-chief the power to slaughter anybody he wants around the world and the number, according to Reliance, a human rights group, since Obama got into office, is over 4,000 innocent people. Why should that upset me? Let me continue. I'll read it again. Nothing in this PPG shall be construed to prevent the president from exercising his constitutional authority as commander-in-chief and chief executive, as well as his statutory authority. Statutory authority. You're making up these things. Oh, it's the law. A bunch of jerks made this crap up. Statutory authority. Anyway, to consider a lawful proposal from operating agencies that he authorized direct action that would fall outside of the policy guidance contained herein, including a proposal that he authorize lethal force against an individual who poses a continuing imminent threat to another country's persons. That means kill anybody, anywhere, for any reason we can make up without anything called habeas corpus that Obama destroyed, by the way, all you liberal liars that are cowards, that are afraid to look at the truth. On New Year's Eve 2011, when he signed the National Defense Authorization Act, that essentially did away with habeas corpus. He's better than Bush. He's slicker than Bush. So, citizens in foreign countries could be slaughtered by any of the agencies, the CIA, anybody they want. No geographical restrictions whatsoever. By hellfire missiles, assassinations, anything that they want to do. Kill anybody, anywhere, anytime, for any reason you want to make up. But, hey, because we the American citizens, by the way, they could drone you at home. Yeah, wherever you live. From Camden to Oakland to St. Louis to Quincy, Mass. To Kingston, New York. As long as they get approval from El Presidente of Los Estados Unidos, the Banana Republic. Imagine this. And of course, as I mentioned, they released it Friday evening and they redacted the hell out of it too, so you couldn't read what they don't want you to read. And the guy that came into office, that lied his way into office, he's going to be so transparent. Yeah, he's transparent. You can see right through this fraud, man. Clear as can be. The liar in chief. And they'll kill anybody they want, even if there's, quote, collateral damage. This is the way they say it. Excuse me. The PPP, the PPG, and of course the PPG meaning the President's Policy Guidance, does not address otherwise lawful and properly authorized activities that may have lethal effects, which are incidental to the primary purpose of the operation. So in other words, if you get in the way of the Hellfire missile, the hell with you, all you innocent people, and the language they use. The PPG does not address otherwise lawful and properly authorized activities. Otherwise lawful. Get this straight. They're making up the laws. What, did Moses come down with them? Maybe it is one of the, came down with 15 commandments, and this is one he dropped. Lawful and properly authorized. Properly authorized by whom? A bunch of slimy psychopaths? And no outrage. No media coverage. America will continue to decline until morality is restored at some level. Totally immoral. And no one cares. No media coverage, not discussed on the presidential reality show. And all you liberals, the cowards, the cowardly liberals, the liberals upset me more than the conservatives. As I said, the conservatives, arch conservatives, actually believe in their stupidity. They actually believe that if you slaughter people around the world and get them over there before they get you over here, that that's a smart policy. They actually believe that. Liberals, on the other hand, have the intelligence to know that they've been lied to, but they lack the courage to admit it. So, not a peep from those good-hearted, quiche-eating liberals with that bolsonic smile about Obama's bombs away over Libya. Not a peep. Not a peep, not a peep, not a peep. And this is being done, by the way, without approval of Congress. And they're using this phony law that was put into place right after 9/11. That's the reason that the White House is given for bombing Libya now. The authorization to use military force, which actually sanctioned military action against those who planned 9/11 and the terrorists that supported them. But here we are. 15 years later, and now they're using it for any excuse for America to drop bombs in Libya or any other place it wants to. And, of course, Libya is the place that Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Susan Rice, and Samantha Powers destroyed. A country that was no threat to anybody. The richest nation in Africa. You think they invaded it because of their large broccoli crop? Or was it because Libya has some of the finest sweet crude on the planet? Kind of like Iraq sitting on the world's second largest oil deposits and one of the chief oil exporters of the world. And when you read the minutes that have been shown by WikiLeaks of Hillary Clinton's, or hacked emails, I should say, of Hillary Clinton, you can see that from Sarkozy in France and others, Libya's gold, its hard assets, and oil were the primary targets. But that's not talked about. And we heard from Hillary Clinton's top foreign policy advisor, former chief of staff at both the Pentagon and the CIA, all you liberals, that's Hillary Clinton's team. She calls herself a progressive liberal. He told the British Telegraph, the newspaper The Telegraph, quote, "A Syria policy," this is now not only about Libya, about Syria now, which the United States is bombing away as well, "will be one of the first items of business for the new national security team." This is the Hillary Clinton that's on her way into the White House. And again, as we said it, the only thing that we keep Trump out of the White House is Trump himself and a wild card, and Trump's proving to do it himself. He goes on to describe the Syrian government of President Bashar al-Assad, who kept that place relatively stable. It was a great tourist attraction, Syria. All these diverse tribes lived in the best harmony that they could. Remember, this was all carved up following World War II. There was no Syria, Lebanon, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, United Arab Emirates, Qatar. The English and French did it after World War I. If I said World War II, it was a mistake. After World War I. And it was called the Sykes-Picot. And they just carved up the joint. And then France occupied Syria, France occupied Syria till after World War II. So this country's all, you know, it's been a mess. The Assad family's kept it in pretty good shape. But now Obama, just as they did with Libya, turning it into a hellhole, has turned Syria into the same hellhole, with over 300,000 people killed by American bombs. I should say American manufactured bombs and missiles and equipment. And some 5 million refugees. So this guy has the nerve to call Assad, this Jeremy Bash, a murderous regime, and he vowed that the new administration would, quote, get him out of there. And according to the newspaper report, he described a foreign policy more hawkish than the current administration. Isn't that great, huh? Wow. That's progress. And the anti-Putin propaganda that keeps coming out never stops at all as well. No facts. And over there in Yemen, yep, bombs away as well. Matter of fact, the Pentagon came out the other day and mentioned how much America is helping our Saudi friends with those bomb strikes that have killed nearly 7,000 innocent people in Yemen, Yemenis. And there's really no regret for it. It's just the policy of America. Kill more every day, keep it going. So here we go. Think I'm making this up? This is the newest data from Central Command that they're bragging about. Reveals that U.S. refueling operations in Yemen, this is to help the Saudis, are up 60% over the past 6 months. And U.S. sold bombs dropped by U.S. sold planes refueled by the U.S. Air Force, which is at the center of this action, 1,144 refueling missions for 5,525 warplanes. Yep. Nearly 7,000 innocent people killed. A war started by Saudi Arabia. Matter of fact, they launched it from Washington, D.C. in March of 2015. Then Saudi ambassador. And America's supporting it. Until morality returns, this thing's just going to go downhill. This whole nation's on a downhill slide. That this kind of talk could be bragging about this. And of course, drone strikes there as well by the United States. Yeah, we're getting them Al-Qaeda's, man. Yeah, killing Al-Qaeda's to them is like killing cockroaches. Never ends. And how is Al-Qaeda and Al-Nusra and all these other terrorist groups, where'd they come from? Couldn't be because the United States destroying and its allies, coalition of the killing, destroying entire nations, leaving young people with no future and a lot of dead people around them. No, that doesn't cause it. Go on, I want to finish up with the presidential reality show. This is a riot. This is the news the other day. Republican security experts rail against Trump in open letter. He weakens U.S. moral authority as the leader of the free world. These are murderers that are saying this. People from the CIA and the Pentagon and other places condemning Trump. The language, excuse me, the language is something. This is an open letter. Trump appears to lack basic knowledge about the belief in the U.S. Constitution, U.S. laws, and U.S. institutions, including freedom of the press and independent judiciary, as the United States launches illegal wars around the world based on lies and illegal. And they have the nerve to write this about Trump. And again, I'm no fan of Trump, but I have to tell you, Trump wants to make peace with Putin. I'm all in favor of that. Trump wants to not get involved with NATO. I'm all in favor of that. I'm all in favor of no foreign entanglements. I'm all in favor of peace on earth. Goodwill to all. None of us will vote for Donald Trump, they said. Big deal. Who cares? Who cares if some clown's going to vote for another clown? Now, I'm not going to vote for Donald Trump. I won't vote for Hitler. I'm voting for Hitlery. Jeez. And they make big news out of this. So I thought this was an appropriate story for Progressive Radio Network, considering so much of it is devoted to health, fitness, and nutrition. Trump's diet, he'll have fries with that. And they had a story in yesterday's New York Times. There he is. He's drinking, he's eating Kentucky Fried Chicken. Drinks Diet Coke. And loves McDonald's. See, I wonder why he looks like he does. Can't figure it out. I guess you are what you eat. And the other thing that I found very interesting that was also in the news was another guy is going to run against him. And this was big news a couple of days ago. He was like a CIA operative before. And he worked for the Goldman Sachs gang. yeah, he sounds like just the kind of person that we need here. I mean, why not? You know, why make it any different? Why hide? Why pretend to be a democracy when it's such a sham? And the other thing that I do agree with Trump, he said the stock market, it's all a big bubble. And I agree with him 100%. He said if rates go up, you're going to see something that's not pretty. It's all a big bubble. And he's right. That's how we began this. It's all a big bubble. And it's ready to explode. Check oil prices. It's very important. They're doing everything they can to push them up, but they keep moving back down. You see it at the gas pump. They keep going down. Natural gas, by the way, is really getting slammed, which is great. Winter's coming. But it's also telling you how bad things are. I'm mentioning this as we're closing up because it's all tied together. You see, as economies go down, I talked about the wars in Libya with oil, what's going on in Yemen with Saudi Arabia and the United States supporting the murder. Talking about Trump, it's all a bubble. Talking about our forecast, that it's all a bubble. Talking about all the war talk that's heating up. When all else fails, they take you to war. Look at all we're hearing from past security experts that are railing against Trump. What do I care? Why am I hearing from security experts? Why do I have to listen to generals speaking at the Republican and Democratic convention? The military was not supposed to be leading this nation, and it is. The facts are there. It's what Eisenhower warned us about in his farewell address. The military-industrial complex is robbing the nation of the genius of its scientists, the sweat of the laborers, and the future of the children. It's one big bubble, and it's ready to explode. It's in front of us. For all that want to see it and admit to it. Where's it going? Well, you know what I keep saying. It's up to us to make the change happen. Remember, it does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority, keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men. So when I see a big story that a former CIA director, Mike Morrell, writes in an op-ed story in the New York Times that he would be backing Clinton, why am I reading this? Why am I hearing from a CIA guy to tell me what to think? Why am I reading that Evan McMullen, a Central Intelligence Agency veteran and former chief policy director of the House Republican Conference, is going to announce that he's running for president? Imagine a CIA intelligence agency veteran announcing that he's running for president. Where's Heinrich Himmler when you need him? Yeah, let's get the Gestapo to run the show. They're running it anyway. It's only a front to make you think it's a democracy. Democracy. D-U-H. Democracy. Served 2 years as chief policy director at the House Republican Conference and was a Central Intelligence Agency veteran. That's great. That's great. He served in the National Clandestine Service of the CIA for 11 years. He then worked at Goldman Sachs. It's perfect. I say this is the guy that's most qualified to be the next president of the United States. His credentials are clear, rather than Hitler's, where they kind of fudge him. This guy's right out there. So anyway, it's up to us. There's still time. A revolution's at hand. If it could happen in other countries, it could happen here. A peaceful revolution, a moral revolution, art, beauty, and joy. So this is Gerald Celente, and thank you for tuning in this week on the Progressive Radio Network and Trends This Week. Figgimi a cutterare, mamma mia, pensaccia tu.